when you get ready to share God's word and the manifestations are held forth, God has this godly stamp when you're listening to him. And when Dan spoke this morning, the first thing that came out of his mouth was, I heard God, I'm speaking to you. Indeed, I'm speaking to you. And indeed means absolutely, right? And you'll see how that's going to tie into what I'm going to share with you this morning. So thank you, Lord, for verifying this. I want to say good morning and welcome to everyone here and to those called in on the believers line. God bless your hearts. We can feel your smiles from all the way over here in San Diego. What a joy it is to see many Christian smiles in you guys. So as I look out to the vast number of you, it blesses me. And today and every day, it's all about listening and doing. We'll see how the Father talks to you. We'll see some examples in his word, which we'll get into momentarily. But as far as the title goes, it's simply called His Voice. His Voice. As sons of God, we have, unless you already know this, a third ear. We've got two carnal ears and a spiritual ear. We just need to use it more. Now, when it comes to listening to a voice, I'm going to give you a list of voices that we should listen to. Okay? The first one is our parents. My father and mother have given me plenty of wisdom throughout the years as I was growing up. I'll share two quick examples from my mom. The first one was, and I was being honest with her about this, you know, I was going out on dates and what have you, and it just grabbed me to ask my mom this question. I said, Mom, can I talk with you? She said, sure. How am I supposed to treat a woman? She goes, come here. Sit down. So I sat in front of her with my eyes wide open and my ears. And she says to me, you treat a woman like you'd want your father to treat me. Boom! I couldn't add or take away anything from that. That's my mom's wisdom. The second thing I asked my mom on a different day was, I said, hey, Mom, can I ask you a question? She goes, sure. I said, how come I don't have a middle name? She goes, come here. Sit down. I sat down again, and she goes, because your name is strong enough without one. Well, my chest was out, and I was just walking around. Well, shoot, I don't have a middle name, but my name is strong enough without one. So that was her answer, and it blessed me. But the one voice that is most important of all is God Almighty. God Almighty. He is talking. But are we listening? Not with these ears, with our spiritual ear. I just told you, the third ear. Hearing his voice is one thing, but following his wisdom and counsel are another. We can hear him all day long, but do you do what he's telling you? Okay? I'm going to give you an example of one of those periods in my life that was really big. And what I did is I started noticing my business. I have my own business, not so much anymore. I'm on a new horse. But at the time, I noticed that in the year 2000, it started to drop, my business. Not because of me. And I got concerned because that meant my income was starting to go down. That was my bread and butter. So I would receive these notices in the mail from the United States Postal Service. Well, I still had my business, and I was in my office, and they would say, come work for us during the Christmas crunch. And I would say, no, thank you. I have my own business, and toss it. That was 2000. 2001, again, the notice came in the mail. And I said, again, no thanks. I have my own business. The third time in 2003 when it came, the business was already starting to go down. So my prayer to the Father, heart to heart, was, Father, show me a place that I can go work that has a history, a solid one, and backbone. So he kind of nudged me, says, you know those notices you've been throwing away? Check it out. Check it out. So in 2003, the third notice, I decided to go in, take the exam, all the stuff they have you do. But the evil one is always What is he doing? Searching. He wants to destroy, kill, steal, all that stuff. So the very morning when I had to go in for my exam and all that stuff, and you can't redo this, it's that one day period, before I left the house, I get a phone call. And it's my older sister from up in L.A. And I knew something was not right because her voice just didn't sound full of pep or anything like that. Her name is Martha. I said, "Hey, Marty." I said, "How you doing?" She goes, "Good." She goes, "I just want to let you know that Mom passed away." Boom, it just knocked me out of my seat on that morning. So what was my mindset? I can't turn things around. And I've got a commitment to go take this exam. So I need to follow through with that. So I told my sister, as soon as I'm done with all this, I explained to her, I'll be up there. She goes, "Okay, take your time, drive safe." So I went and took the exam, or to go take the exam. And as we were sitting in this room, there was like 40, 50 people. The instructor says, "This is going to take a minimum of 4 hours." I go, "Oh, so I got to talk to her." So I went up to her and said, "Can I speak to you?" She said, "Sure." So we go to the corner of the room. I said, "This morning my mom passed away." She goes, "Oh, I'm so sorry." I said, "Thank you." I said, "Is there any way I can get bumped up in front of this long wait?" He goes, "Sure, I'll move you up." So what should have taken 4+ hours took 45 minutes. Again, praise God. I had my motorcycle and shot up to L.A. So he's always trying to trip us up in one way or another. And what more heavier way to do that than, "Hey, your mom just passed away." You know, but anyway, got through that. So, what I wanted to mention was that when God is speaking with you, listen. And not just listen, but follow through. And you will see why he has you do the things that he's talking to you in your spiritual ear. So now I'd like to go to his word and look at his voice. And if you can go to, first of all, Psalm 95:7. Some of these, as you see them up on the screen, I'm reading in the NLT, some in the King James. So, Psalms 95 and verse 7. "For he," God, "he is our God. We are his people. He watches over the flock under his care. If only you would listen to his voice today." And you know what? When tomorrow's here, today. Next year, if the Lord Jesus Christ does not come back, today. Each and every day. So God is imploring his people. Granted, this is the Old Testament and it's for our learning, but we can still glean from these words for our lives today. Here Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt, listening to his voice. Let's go to Deuteronomy 4:36, please. Deuteronomy 4:36. Here we go. "Out of heaven he made thee to hear his" what? I can't hear you. I want to hear your voice too. "His voice. That he might instruct thee, and upon earth he showed you thee his great fire. And thou heardest his words out of the midst of the fire." This is Moses leading the people out of Egypt, right? And this is not on the screen, or won't be, but I read this one verse at the very beginning of this whole journey, and you're going to find this in Deuteronomy 4:4. But I just want you to see the dynamic words of our Heavenly Father, and when he speaks, we need to listen. Now, concerning all this, that they were following through and obeying him, he says this at the beginning, "But ye that did cleave, unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you this day." He didn't say some of you. I'll get the rest of you maybe, but no, every one of you is what God said at the beginning of that record. And that just really blessed me and gave me great assurance in my heart. So now, here we're going to see how Moses is speaking to the Israelites, that they hear the voice of the one true God. And it's a big or. The silence of the idols. Not of the lambs, but the silence of the idols. Because they can't talk, they can't hear, they can't move, nothing. That's your option. And to walk in holiness and obedience before God by faith and live or have a deaf ear and suffer the consequences. When God speaks, are we listening? Were they listening? God shows us time and time again. In Deuteronomy 30, Moses is given a sermon to the Israelites shortly before they enter the Promised Land. You can read the whole record later. We too can be obedient unto his voice, and blessings, or step on the hose of blessings. As Barney shared, let it flow. We need to let it flow. Let it flow. Here we'll see the message God spoke through Moses. God spoke to Moses, gave him instruction. Moses had to speak to the people. To the people of walking in the holiness and obedience before God by what? Faith. By faith. And live, which is key. Or, again, turn away from him to death. To death. And back then, it was literal many times. Once again, are we using our spiritual ears? Question mark. Go ahead and ask what you will and be ready to hear. Let's read this record in Deuteronomy. If you can go to Deuteronomy chapter 30, starting in verse 10. This is the NLT. Deuteronomy 30:10. It says, the Lord your God will delight in you if you obey his what? Voice. His voice. His voice. And keep the commandments and decrees written in this book of instruction. And if you turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and soul, this command I am giving you today. Is it not difficult for you to understand? And is it not beyond your reach? Fair enough. It goes on. Verse 12. It is not kept in heaven, so distant that you must ask, who will go up to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey? Is it not kept beyond the sea? So far away that you must ask, who will cross the sea to bring it to us so we can hear it and obey? No, 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 no. The message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. We know when God talks to us, whether it's in his word, whether it's in revelation, whether it's to a fellow brother or sister in Christ, what to obey and what not to. We know. Why? Because we've been instructed and brought up in his word. We have that background. 15. Now listen. Today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God and to keep his commands, decrees, and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply. Well, look at us today. We're still growing, right? And the Lord your God will bless you and the land you are about to enter and occupy. This is what they were told then. Do you think they wanted part of that? Absolutely, absolutely. Again, our theme verse, Psalm 143, 8. It says, cause me to hear thy loving kindness. Cause me to hear thy loving kindness. Not cause me to hear thy scolding or thy chastising. No, it says thy loving kindness. In the morning, before we get out, before we go about our jobs and start driving down the road, in the morning, for in thee do I trust. Cause me to know the way wherein I should walk, for I lift up my soul unto thee. Isn't that an exhortive, comforting, and loving kindness thing for God to say? Can I get an amen? Amen. And now, I would like for us to listen to a testimony by a brother in Christ. Some of you know him, Dr. David Gibbs. So, please enjoy.
I was in Alaska doing a lawsuit. We're way out in the Aleutian Islands, getting ready to leave and go back to Anchorage and then home. And I had a ticket in my pocket to get on an airplane. A pastor came up and he said, listen, I can save you money. I said, how's that? He said, I flew a small airplane up here. And I fly a small airplane. And I can take you in my little airplane and you can save your ticket. And this did not sound, I said, gee, thank you so very, very much. But I've got this ticket. We'll just make our way on home, me and this other lawyer with me. He said, no, 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 you got to do it. You got to do it. And against every better judgment I had, I said, okay. Well, we went out to the airport, took us by his little plane, and I looked at it. And I thought, well, one good thing, it's shiny. Then he walked around it. We got in. He's on the left front, I'm on the right front, the other lawyer's sitting right behind me, and he started it up, and it started up just fine. Well, we taxied out. I said, should we pray? He said, yeah, that's a good idea. We normally don't. I said, well, this time we're gonna. And I'm telling you, I prayed 5-8 minutes. I prayed a long time. We went and got on the runway. He starts down the runway. The plane lifted off ever so gently, and we start climbing, and it's wonderful. Not a problem in the world. We started climbing and we flew probably 3-4 minutes and something happened that will never leave my mind. The pilot turned to me and he said, we're going in the clouds and I can't fly in clouds. They make me pass out. I said, clouds make you do what? Now, it's been cloudy all day. And we go right up into the clouds and you can't see anything. And he looks at me, and his eyes roll back in his head, and he starts mumbling, and he passes out. Passed out cold. Now, I grabbed him, and I shook him, and I said, come on, you got to wake up so I can kill you. Now, we're in the clouds, flying along with no pilot. And my friend in the back seat said, we're dead, aren't we? I said, there's a very good chance of that, yes. He said, what are we going to do? I said, I don't know. But there was a radio right there, and I handed him the microphone, and I said, start asking for help. So he's in the back seat reaching up, and he said, hello, hello. We didn't know any proper radio etiquette. All we were saying was hello. And somebody answered back, hello, hello. Don't you guys know proper radio etiquette? And I said, tell, we don't know nothing. Tell him we're in an airplane with a passed out pilot, and we don't know how to fly this plane. The guy said, I'm a freighter flying out of Anchorage on the way to Tokyo. And he said, you're telling me you have nobody who can fly that plane with you? I said, tell him that's correct. Now, you got to understand, I am sweating bullets. He said, the first thing I'm going to do is start circling so I don't lose you, because I'll fly out of range of your radio and you won't have me anymore. And he said, I'm going to get Anchorage Emergency for you, and Anchorage Emergency will be the people that can maybe help you try to save your life. After about 5 minutes, Anchorage came on, said, we understand you have a passed out pilot, and those of you do not know how to fly that plane. We said, that's right. They said, well, the first thing we got to do is find you. And I'll never forget what this man at Anchorage said. He said, my job is to get you home safe. He said, that's my job. But he said, here's the deal. If you want me to get you home safe, you got to promise me you'll obey my voice. He said, you can't see me, but I can see you. And he said, if you're not going to obey my voice, you're going to die. When you can't see anything, you have no idea how disorientated you become. Finally, he said, okay, I found you. Now hear me clear. He said, you're 4 minutes from a mountain. He said, you're going to crash in that mountain and die. Follow my voice. I never said, I have to follow your voice? Is that reasonable? You see, I understood without his voice, I had nothing. And do you understand? Without God's voice, you have nothing. Nothing. Finally, he got us turned. And he said, I'm freezing all the traffic in the area. He said, it's going to take me an hour and a half to get you to Anchorage, and there's a lot of weather between you and Anchorage. You're in for a rough ride. And he said, I want you to hear me. I don't want you to look at what's going on outside. I don't want you to pay attention to the storm, just my voice. He said, if you start watching the storm, you will die. But I'll take you through it. Now, because they cleared all the traffic, several pilots, those nighttime freighters, those 747s, started talking to us. They said, we're praying for you, men. You're going to make it. But listen to the voice. That's the key. They said, trust the voice. You realize your head is full of voices, and everybody in this world wants to talk to you, and everybody wants to be the controlling voice. And God says, I want you to be a living sacrifice. I want you to put yourself on the altar and let my voice be your voice. Finally, we went through the worst of the weather, but there was still more. And then the voice came back and it said, now, I'm going to line you up. He said, I'm going to bring you in right down the runway. And at the foot of the runway are some lights, and they're in the form of a cross. He said, don't you forget this. The cross is the way home. Finally, he's bringing us down. We still can't see anything. And all he kept saying is, stay with me. My sheep, the Bible says, hear my voice, and they follow me. Finally, just a couple hundred feet off the ground, we saw the cross. I landed the plane. In fact, I landed it 7 times. Finally, it all came to a stop, and the minute we stopped, the pilot woke up. The voice said, thanks for listening. I watch them crash and burn all the time because they won't follow my voice. They don't understand I'm the one who can see them even when they can't see me. But they get the voices in their head and they kill themselves. They self-destruct. Thanks for listening to the voice. Then they put us in a motel room at about 4 in the morning. They knock at my door. I open the door and a man was standing there. He said, hello, David. He said, you're the voice. You're the one who got me home. He said, I am. Do you understand one day you're going to stand before him and say, you were the voice. You're the voice that brought me home. If you're not on that altar as a living sacrifice, your head's full of voices. And then we wonder why kids crash and burn. We wonder why marriages are shattered. And the Lord's saying, I'm the one who has the voice. All I can remember is that voice saying, stay with me. Stay with me. Don't listen to what's going on in your head and don't watch the storm. Stay with me. And I'll take you through. Tonight you have a God who has promised to take you through. A living sacrifice, holy.
Thank you, Jeffrey. Well, I'm going to close with a prayer, and I hope this has an impact to rejuvenate our spiritual ear so that we can listen to the Father. Our lives may never have something as critical as this, but it doesn't matter. We want the peace of God to reign in our lives. We want to walk around with smiles, not shaking with fear, right? So, gracious Heavenly Father, oh, how I thank you for speaking to us, Father. You are not a distant God across the ocean or way up in heaven, out of reach. No, like it says in your word, you are nigh unto us. You are on our lips and in our hearts. Father, help each and every one of us as individuals not just ask you for your help, but to listen for your help, Father. Help us to hear you clearly, Father, so that the wisdom from above will guide us. And it's in Jesus' wonderful name I pray. Amen. Thank you.